Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Okay, well, I'm going to start anyway because it's my testimony, so it's nothing that I read off there, off here. But something we should know. So, when I look back on my life, I was in prison for 45 years of my life. From the age of 5, things started happening in my life, been very good. And so, I thank God that at the age of 5, I received Jesus into my life. Come on, work. And I received Jesus into my life. And, you know, he kept me because my life consisted of being abused. And what comes with abuse? You feel rejected. You're not good enough. And so I never lived. I was always in survival mode. I was always in survival mode. So praise Jesus, we are back. And, you know, so as I said, for most of my life, up till 12 years ago, that life was abuse, rejection, and, you know, all the negative things that go with it. So what created my prison that I lived in? It was fear, condemnation, guilt, shame, hopelessness, not good enough, as I said. And because when bad things happen to you, you think it's your fault. You know, that this is your lot in life, that's come upon you. And I never had anybody to speak to. So what did I do? I kept it just within me. And so I had this picture on my heart. And every time something bad happened, I folded up this little piece of paper, stuck it in my heart. So my heart had all these things on there. So slowly but surely was building that prison around me. And it all makes such sense because when I was at art college, I liked to express what I was feeling inside. And I remember drawing a picture. And maybe today you feel like you're also in the prison. I had drawn this picture of a prison cell with the bars and a person sitting, kneeling, facing the corner. And that, when I look, I go, yes, now I understand why I drew that. Because it was what was in my heart back at that time. And so, as I said, I wasn't living life. I was merely surviving. And you know, Proverbs 13, verse 12, it's not on there, sorry, says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So throughout my life, I had hope deferred, and it made my heart sick. So even from a child, young child, I used to be quite ill. And so when I matriculated, I remember the headmistress asking us at the dinner, so what do you want to be when you grow up, you know, leave now? I said, all I want to do is be happy. And I thank God that I was not a negative person, that I had kicked into this thing that I will survive. I think there's a song in there somewhere. I mean, while I was preparing this, I'm going, yes, I want to break free comes to my mind and take these shackles off my feet come to my mind. I'm glad to know that people here don't remember those songs. But it's like the whole world is crying to be free, and we have that gift. So from this life that I led, it affected my body. So with the hope deferred made the heart sick. I had illnesses that you arranged from A to Z. And it was, because you're just wanting to get through life and becoming a single parent, and you surviving and keeping them going. And I had hypertension, ulcers, and then I died, I think it was about 17, 18 years ago. I have a healthy heart. But because of the stress of life, it affected me. And when I went to the doctor, my heart was racing faster than a marathon runner. And I'm not a runner. If you see some of the things I put out there, like, no, if you're running, a bad person runs because evil's chasing after you. It's just like me, like, no offense. But, like, I am not going to run. And the doctor was panicking. He told me not to panic. He said, no, I'm not panicking. And, yeah, and it was, and what kept me pulling me into myself was when the doctor said, girl, you're strong, your boys need you. And I knew my boys needed me at that part in my life. So there was all these illnesses in my life. And what happens when you're living in that self-condemnation that you're not good enough? Your relationships in life aren't really good. And yes, I had gone to church and I tried everything, all the religious ways, but I didn't kind of fit in there either because they were legalistic about how I should be. Cut your hair short if you want to be a lady, you know, that kind of story. So I didn't quite fit that picture. So, so relationships. I had relationships and I loved people, but nobody ever knew what was going on in my heart. And I remember the company when I moved away. He said to me, I never knew what was going on in your life because you never reflected it in the workplace. And so I've learned that I was very extrovert out there. A tea party became a weekend party type of thing because I was hiding my heart. And I just thank the Lord for mother that prayed, for son that prayed, and for aunts as well. And I just want to say in John 14, the story that really started, that impacted my life, and when my life started changing, was the woman at the well. And I feel like I've been there, because she lived a very secluded life, keeping house, only going out at midday. She went out to go to the well, and I looked at the map, and it took her like half an hour to walk there. I'm sure it took her longer to walk there in the mid-heat of the 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. That's the time she walked when everybody else was having a rest. This woman walked to the well, and she had the weight of the world on her shoulders. She felt condemned, rejected, failure on the marriages, and just like, what is love? Because you're out there in the world and you're looking for love because the world's portraying it this way, and it's all based on your senses. And she walked there and so alone. And I can picture her head looking to the ground, and maybe her feet were full of mud from the tears that splashed up on the dust. And and then she gets to the well and she meets the Messiah. She knew there was something different about him. She just knew because of the way he interacted with her. He reached out to her and connected with her in such a beautiful way. And that opened up her heart. It opened her up. And he spoke to her, and I would love to ask her one day about the conversation with the Messiah. And her heart, her eyes were opened. And that weight of the world fell off her shoulders because she left a water pot and she ran back to the village. And those men that went to call, they knew something was different about her because she looked so different. And, they went to see for themselves, and then obviously they believed. So she found freedom in Christ. Are you truly free in Christ? Or is there something that's keeping you in prison? So as I said, 11 years ago, I walked out of the prison into my restoration. It's not something that just happens overnight. It was a journey with the Lord. And just understanding the message of grace, that God is not holding my sin against me. So now, that took a year for me to understand God's not holding my sin against me after I had been told, your sin separates you from God. And kind of said, well, ain't going to happen because I don't know how to get to you, God. So I had the picture all wrong about God and myself. And it's like, and he remembers our sin no more. So who are we to remember our sins or anybody else? And so it's as you get to understand your identity in Christ and how he has set us free, it's you don't want to go back into the prison cell ever again. And so during this time, every illness in my body left. And it was like 5,000-6,000 rands worth of medication. So the heart started beating properly and not missing beats. The calcified spine was restored. My lungs that were so weak that if I got a cold, I would have died. They were functioning. Everything just started coming back. Because you see, my soul had been twisted within me. My spirit was perfect. But because my soulish realm had not been built up and fed the living word, and it was like just this, and that affected me in every way. And as I said, even with relationships, everything started. Because now you've got relationships, you've got to learn to trust. And the one relationship you have to learn to trust in is God. As Father, as we said, He's a good, good Father. And He has good things for us. So, yes. So what bars are holding you captive? Is it fear? Guilt? You think you don't know what I've been through? I don't know, but God knows. I don't let the abuse or the whatever I've gone through define who I am, because Jesus defines me. He is living inside of me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I used to just think, well, Jesus lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit. And then I had that light bulb moment, but I'm sure everybody else knew I'm the only slow learner. God lives inside of me. I am His address. And it's like, yo, this is awesome. And just to know, as you said, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, you know, we are in Him and we become one with Christ. And that one is like taking two coins, melting them down and making one coin. You cannot be separated. So when I look back on my life, I see how God has always been there for me. I used to joke and say to people, because I did stupid. I really did stupid. And I said there was always somebody there watching over me because I could feel. And it was God. God doesn't stay outside when we're going somewhere. He's always with us. And it was 11 years ago, I moved to Cape Town. And I remember, because my life, I moved from Durban, and everything was just such chaos, mess. My two sons had moved to Cape Town previously. And when I arrived here, I just saw myself in a hole. And like, there was no way out. And I actually sat on the bed and said to my mom, please pray for God to take me now, because there's no purpose for me in life. I've messed up so badly. I said, my boys are big, they don't need me. So I thank God my mother didn't pray that, because I am loving life because of who I am in Christ and just knowing that freedom. And so today I want to start from John 14, verse 6. And just share some scriptures that have really, really been so meaningful to me. I mean, I can read lots of scriptures, but we had to. Yeah, and that's when I started going to Grace Life, I discovered, you know, slowly but surely, and allowing people to love on me, and not be inward focused. There was a line that was always said to me, and I thank God for it, is get over yourself. Because grief, self-centeredness is truly the root of all grief. Because then having no expectations on people is the best thing ever. Because you never get hurt, you never get frustrated or upset about anything. So in John 14, verse 6, it's the night before Jesus was crucified. And he was chatting with the disciples there and telling them, you know, where I'm going. And we, you know, Thomas said, you know, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know, you know, how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there's nothing we have to work for. Freedom is a gift. We get to choose it. But then we need to walk out of that prisons, because that prison door has been opened. So don't hold on to things, even unforgiveness, because that's the one thing I couldn't do, is forgive myself for what had happened in my life and what I had done. And until that day, I chose to forgive myself and actually identify myself with, yes, those things happened to me as a child, did I truly, truly walk in freedom. So it's like, God has got so much in store for us. And so I am the way. The world is looking for another way. And I was always trying to find the way in the world. But Jesus is the only way. And truth, people are looking for that truth. And, oh, there's truth in this and truth in that. But those aren't truths. What's it? The only truth is Jesus. He is the truth. His word is truth. And it is living. And it will never, ever pass away. And he is life. So where I was living in this prison with all this sickness and disease, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to say, when I understood my identity in Christ, that life, I was no longer surviving anymore. I was coming to life. And our roots just grow deeper and deeper in the Lord. And yes, the enemy does try and come and bring doubt and thoughts to your head. But just remember, Jesus paid for you. The devil cannot squatter in your between your ears. He can't. He's got no squatter rights. He didn't pay for you. So you just tell him straight away, speak up. Say, no, I'm a child of God. And God qualifies us. When I was sitting there, I was thinking, yes, Lord, you turned water into wine and you turned me into your beloved child, free. So yes, you know, I mean, we know some of you might remember Frank Sinatra, like you're always singing about my way. My way only brings death and destruction. My truths were not truths, but lies. My life was dead. So yes, thought I had to do something, as I said, to get to the Father. And we all know the wonderful, if we just go back to John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And people just usually stop there with that. When I was growing up, that verse 17 is like, for me, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And for me, this is the picture of love. God, who is love, gave us freedom. He gave us that ultimate sacrifice. You know, when I discovered this verse, that's when I discovered what love is. Love gives, love forgives, and holds record of no wrongs. But this is not just for me. This is for every single person. And when you begin to see that, you're like, I'm forgiven. Who am I not to forgive? The person who's offended me or done me wrong, because God loves them. And it was instilled in us for so long that that proverb, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and out of the heart flow the issues of life." So now, when somebody's reacting to me, I'm going, they have something in their heart. What can I do but to love them and show them Jesus? I did that when I was standing in ShopRite Checkers. It just came out. Because it was early Saturday morning, which I go because it's nice and quiet, because I know people like to lie in. And this lady was standing there with the trolley, and she was saying, "Could you just get more tellers to come in?" And I just said, quite calmly, "Lady," I said, and I said something to her. I said, "There's no need to be angry to them." I said, "You know, they will get to you now." I think she was like next in the queue. She wasn't being nasty, and she changed. But I realized this. I said, "No, it's fine." And I walked off, and I go, "What overcame me?" But anyway, correcting people like that, yes. So, yes, we are created in God's image. Jesus never came to condemn. We must remember that. He came to save. So when I stopped condemning myself, and that allowed Father to change me from the inside out. I remember when I left Durban, I left everything behind. I had chosen wrong relationships. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm now allowing you to love me. You've got to show me what love is, because I have no idea. And I'm so glad that he pursues us, and that's what he wants to do. In 1 John, let's get there. 1 John 1 verse 9. You can see I still have to turn the pages of the Bible. When 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I looked at the scripture, I thought, okay, we confess our sins, but I know that he's forgiven me, and when I sin, he doesn't remember it no more. So when I say, yeah, oh Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've done, you know, let's move on. And you don't focus on the issues, the sin problems or that. You focus on God and his goodness. It gets less and less and less. And you go, Lord, I'm such a different person. The way I react to people and how I deal with people. I used to be extremely, no second chance. If you mess up the first time, well, what did you do wrong? You know your job, da da da, that kind of thing. So yes, very sweet. And I was like, okay, getting to know the person and saying, are you okay? And understanding them there. So for me, in this scripture where it says, he is faithful. God is always faithful, even when we're not. You know, I just always say to him, thank you, God, for your protection upon me when I was out there in the world. You know the plans you have for me. And that's my heart today, is that because I've been through stuff, it's like I need to get out there and share with the world that God loves you unconditionally. Our hope is in him. We can't put our hope in things that are going to burn one day, and we can't put our hope in people, because they're going to let us down. Our hope is in the Lord. And then it says, and he's to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are clean, we are holy, we are righteous. Nothing we do, but it's because of what Jesus has done. And when this process of this change started happening, I kept thinking, I'm not like I used to be. Am I myself? You know, because I was quite alive, why I still am, but you know, I now am a mother, a grandmother, and I'm an aunt and a great aunt now. And it's like, Lord, you put us in a family where we need the mothers and the grandmothers, and God is never too old to use us. So Moses was 80 when he was with the Israelites. So why limit God? It's like, God, use me now. This is the best time of my life, because I know that I will go where God wants me to go, and I will do what he wants me to do, because I veil myself. It's not about what I've studied or what I've learned. If God used the donkey, he could use me. So, and just to encourage people and say, and sometimes just encouraging them, their chains fall off and they realize, yes, you know, we are seated in Christ in heavenly places, and everything is under our feet. It cannot oppress us or depress us. Everything is under our feet. You know, when people say the enemy is attacking you, why? You don't leave the doors open. Close the doors. Because in John 10:10 it says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our Jesus came to give you abundant life. So it's like, no, devil, you're not going to steal from me. You are defeated, and you are under my feet. So we are, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We don't have to work or slave away to be forgiven. We need only confess, yes, I have sinned, and receive Christ. And we receive this awesome gift of being made righteous, always in right standing with God. And I thought of a little illustration. It's like, I remember as a child having to stay in my room until I said sorry. Only then I could come out and have dinner or lunch with the rest of the family. So imagine if I said sorry to God, but I continued, well, in the house, and I said sorry, but I continued to stay in my room. I would miss out on food and family time. So when we receive Jesus into our lives, we move out of the prison of darkness. We are now in his kingdom of light. We are his sons and his daughters. So we say sorry to God. And now we get to feast on his word and discover our identity. It's for me, it's not about listening to a million good teachers, because I don't want to mix that, but it's like, okay, Lord, you show me. And he gave us the Holy Spirit because he went to be with the Father, and he said to his disciples, I'm going to send you another comforter. So he's our comforter, he's our teacher, and he's our counselor. What more can we ask? We have the whole package. We have been given everything we need for this life to be overcomers because of Jesus. So unforgiveness imprisons you. And it can imprison one without you even realizing it. And, you know, it's a choice. We get to choose to stay in that prison because we like to feel sorry for ourselves. With me, back in the German days, I was in hospital every 3 months after my heart issue. So I'd be fine. I never get colds. I never get things. But no, next day they say, and boom, like that, he's in ICU or cardiac eye care because of the stress of the life and the job that I had. And so I got tired of that. I wasn't this ashamed person. I wanted to get out of that. So, you know, and it's awesome to be able to be a bird that actually flies and not has to stay on the ground or in a cage and be looked after, but to know that my God is with me. Even when I started working here, I traveled up to Alexander Bay and I stopped at the little service station there. And the guy looked in the window and says, you're traveling alone? And I said to him, no. He looked in the car. I said, Jesus is with me. I said, I'm safe wherever I go. And his face lit up. So yes, I thought, no, God is good. And, you know, so we know that we are loved, we are forgiven, and that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And it's not just me saying that. That's what the word says. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you are a child of God. There's no condemnation because why are you in Christ Jesus? And why is that? Because he paid for it all on the cross. He took away every single sin, past, present, and future. So as a believer in Christ, we are no longer condemned. We have moved from death's row into God's kingdom. So what happened when you receive Christ into your life? I remember when I received Jesus as that little girl into my heart, and I loved him with such a passion. But when the Sunday school teachers used to tell us that, it was just stories to me. You know, and I didn't actually see Jesus walking on the earth. I thought he hovered, you know, because he's God. He's Jesus. And then to get understand that he knows what we go through, because God sent his son to this earth to take on a human form. To know what it's like. He knows what it's like. There's nothing he does not know and hasn't felt. So yes, God is faithful. So you and God are one. You cannot be separated. You cannot divorce yourself from him. What did Jesus die for? He died for our sins. He canceled them. And he remembers our sins no more, as Hebrews 8, verse 12 says. So who are we not to forgive ourselves? Let go of those little things that are holding you back. Trust in God alone. He is faithful. He is love. He accepts you. You are created in his image. And he created you for a relationship with him. And it is so wonderful because he is my everything. I'm so complete in him. So fear, condemnation, guilt, shame, Jesus took it all on the cross. Rejection, hurt, not good enough, No, God qualifies you. He's taken that all. When you realize how much God loves you, the bars and the chains fall away effortlessly. You don't work at it. So as you begin to praise Him from a grateful heart for what He's done, as you heard today, from a grateful heart. Just like when Paul was in prison, I love using this example. I said, Paul was in prison. Would you have freaked out because of the smell and what you were standing in and trying to climb up the bars and, God, what have you done? Why have you left me here? Get me out of this. I don't deserve this. But he didn't. He began to praise God and pray. And we know what happened. Prison doors flung open after the ground shook. So yes, he didn't get offended. He chose to praise God. We get to choose. Do I want to stay in my prison cell with the hurts and shames from the past or praise God? I get to accept the whole package of salvation. I'm not going to leave anything out. I want it all. So we are free because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, as John 3:16 says. We are free because the greater one lives inside of us. And we are overcomers and we are victorious, not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And as a believer, God and you are one, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. And what God thinks about you is far more important than what man thinks. Yes, people might think you're arrogant. I mean, I was told that I don't care about this pandemic because I'm not in fear. I said, oh no, I don't live. Fear's not my address. Fear, I was such a highly strung person in my life. I don't fear anything. Fear is afraid of me, as Pastor Isaac always said. Because why fear? God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And what He says about us is far more important. As I said, you are created in God's image with a purpose. And fear no longer has any hold over me or you. So in closing, I want to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. It's Him completely. Nothing else and no one else can fulfill this. Ask me, I've tried to fill that gap within me, and nothing could fill it but Jesus. And God loves you so much, and He loves me so much, that He gave His Son to die in our place, so we can have freedom. We are forever forgiven and clean. There is no condemnation. So don't allow the enemy to lie to you anymore. Just before we close, I've still got time, eh? Yes. Just before we close, I'm going to share a short testimony with you. I never trusted, because of what happened to me in my life, I never trusted men, and it's not going to make me happy and that kind of thing, but I wanted to have a family, so I did things backwards. I was in a job in Johannesburg at the age of 19, 20, not a city girl, so that's a miracle in itself, but I'm alive today. And I had a child. I was pregnant, and this company said, you need to have an abortion. You need to go to America, to the UK. That's 10,000 rand. Go and have an abortion. I said, no, this is my child. I had this child before they were even formed because I wanted to be a mother. And I moved back home, which I'm so grateful for, because I got to spend time with my parents again. And when my son was born, my mother was there, and he wasn't actually breathing, and she prayed, and this child lived. And I just thank God, even though I made wrong choice, because we can make wrong choices, that doesn't condemn us. When we decide, okay, well, I'm going to make the right decision and allow God, you see what happens. And that's my son, Shane, who I said, thank you, Father, that I chose life. That I chose that. But whether you've chosen that other side, there's still no condemnation because God loves us unconditionally. So, yes, and eventually I did get married to his dad and then do the right thing. And I don't regret what I did, my life that I chose, marrying his father and having his brother, and I have two awesome sons. So it's like, yes, God, you're awesome. You will take any situation and He turns it around for good. There's nothing impossible with God. So as I said, we get to choose just if we want to stay in that prison cell or not. So if you felt like you identified that anything is holding you in bondage, you know, I want to just pray for you. So we can all stand and we can pray together so that we don't single anybody out. But today, you get to choose to walk in complete freedom. Let go of the hurts, the disappointments, the rejection, the guilt, the shame. And look to the finished work on the cross. Father God, we thank you that you are our Father. You are loving. Thank you that you hold no record of wrong. And Father, where in our life we might be holding on to one of those prison bars or haven't stepped out of the prison cell, today we choose to let go. And we choose to allow you to love us, Father. Father God, I pray for eyes and of the hearts and understanding to be open right now in Jesus' name. That people will understand and begin to see themselves the way God sees them. Thank you, Father, that yes, you remember our sins no more. Our past is our past.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.